Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris indoors in Bondi, and it's a beautiful, gorgeous, delicious, miserable day outside. And today, I just want to talk to you about really quickly about a little bit about relationship. Been into the home life thing. If you're not interested in talking and listening about relationship and getting into the home life thing, please turn this off right now because that's all it's about. It's not about productivity. It's not about making a buck. It's about home life. Attraction, in my opinion, is way overrated. What I believe one is wise to do if you want to be in the best relationship that the world has to offer is to find those things you're attracted to in a person, list them all down, and then become them. Rather than try to live in a world in which you say, I haven't got this, but I'm attracted to it in this other person, it's better to be in a world where you say, every human has every trait, therefore I have every trait. I know I express some and I repress other traits. I'm attracted to the traits I repress in myself. I'm attracted to them in another person, and therefore that's the basis on which I'm going to be with them, or I'm going to go with them, or I'm going to stay with them. And this is really poor. It leads to exhaustion, and it's unsustainable, and it's extremely emotive, and it leads to codependency. It's far better to say, this is my path, this is where I'm walking, this is who I am. I defend that. I want to walk parallel. I want to walk parallel to somebody who's walking their path. That's interesting to me, but it's not my path. It's their path, and I'm not with them because I'm attracted to them. I'm with that person because I love them, and I'm intrigued and interested and inspired by their path. I don't need them because everything they have that I'm attracted to, I become. I'm here because I see how being with that person benefits me on the path I'm on, and I see how them being with me benefits them on the path they're on. But that's not my path, and their path isn't my path isn't their path. We are on parallel paths, and I think this is really important. But before one can do that, I guess you got to know yourself pretty damn well. Otherwise, whose path is who? What do you really want? Now, we've got seven areas of life, and that can become complicated because we often have seven gods we serve. We serve the money god, we serve the work god, we serve the relationship god, we serve the social god, we serve all the gods that really are our goals. Let's call goals gods. And they become quite demanding on us, don't they? Because we say, I want to get this health thing, and I want to get this money thing, and I want to get this relationship thing, and I want to get all these I want to get. And it can become so damn complicated. It's like seven horses pulling at us from all these different ropes, trying to keep this freaking thing in balance. And that's never what it was meant to be. Your work is meant to be your primary concern in life. Your work is meant to be the thing you throw yourself at and you give yourself to, and the others link in and say, how does my relationship, how does my finances, how does my social life, how does my spirituality, how does my health, how does my health feed the work that I'm born to do? Because work is where it doesn't have to be paid work. It doesn't have to be even highly paid work. It could be highly paid work. But work is where we develop a sense of worth, our worthiness in this world. We do what we love. We do the work and we get remunerated. And when we're dependent on other people to remunerate us by financial remuneration or social clapping or intimacy or whatever, when we're asking other people to remunerate us for our work, we're really in the shit because then we have no sense of independence, no sense of self. No sense of self-awareness. What we are, we're just aware of what everybody else thinks about what we do, which pollutes what we do to the point where what we do becomes poisonous. So I think the developing a sense of self, which is what you do when you look at self-development, I think just developing this strong sense of What is my work? What do I love? What do I what am I going to achieve with that work? And then how I'm going to distribute that into the seven areas of my life, into the six areas of my life. How am I going to surround myself with the six areas of life that collaborate to give me my the work that I love? And then ask the next question: am I working for them, or am I working for for myself? Do I have my priorities? Because we can't give what we haven't got. And if you're working to support other people, then really we're giving what we haven't got. We got to work to support ourselves, to strengthen our own sense of self, our own sense of independence, and our s own sense of pathways, so that we can attract around us the people, places, and things that support us. So your partner in life needs to be your number one fan. And if they're not your number one fan, you've got to ask yourself, what am I doing to burn off this fan? Because if your number one fan isn't your partner, that means there's a lot of other people out there that are not your fans, because your partner just represents really a huge collective of the world that you would love to do your work with. And you can ask, why wouldn't my partner respect the work I do and love the work I do? Am I blaming them for being not dedicated and committed to the beautiful work that I give to the world? Am I asking my partner to pat me on the head? Or am I doing this work and saying, I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks, which is again going to alienate your partner. So in a sense, the collaboration with a partner, pathway to pathway, sharing and overlapping and co-creating and things like that. This sense of being independent but dependent, this sense of being independent but collaborative, this is a really important viewpoint. But most people will talk about relation, how attracted am I to that person? How attracted are they? And that's just stupid. You become the qualities of your partner eventually. And so the thing is, rather than try to live vicariously through your children or live qualities that you don't re express through the expression of your partner, and therefore be so proud of them or whatever it is. You say, what are they doing that I really admire? And then become those qualities. And therefore you evolve with your partner and you grow with your partner. But you must know your own path. You must know the work that you love and how you're going to engage that work and do it more and get remunerated more and distribute what you get paid into the hands and the hearts of other people, and give to yourself first, because you can't give what you haven't got. You know that story. I don't have to repeat that. Last but not least in this conversation, in relationship, it's the worst place to do your therapy. So when you ask your partner, what do you think? You're asking a highly unqualified, very attached, and very non-objective individual what they think the best advice for you would be. And even in the situation I'm in with my partner doing being a sports woman and a great one, she asked me for mental health advice, like, you know, how do I engage my training and how do I stay on track and be focused and in the zone and how do I stay inspired and how do I motivate myself? And I go, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to cross over into that territory. I say, but a lot of your coaches, a lot of the people you work with do. And better you stay with your, you know, in that way. And I think it's pollutive to become an advisor to your own spouse. You're never a prophet in your own home. And I think this is really important shit, because it drills down to another statement, which is that self-help, which is I think a $200 billion industry across the planet, is a total, for the most part, a total waste of money. You can't fix the self from the self that created the self. All you can do is manipulate within the self. And we need to manipulate within the self, because we need to encourage ourselves. We need to self-talk. That's great. And I think that for the all intents and purposes, self-talk can replace self-help, because we can talk to ourselves as a coach and go, well done, Chris. Well done, mate. That, oh, get up and give it another go, buddy. Oh, that you're right on track. We can encourage ourselves like a good coach or a good friend would do. But we can't self-help, because self-help implies some level of criticism of the self in order to work out what we need to help. And when we start becoming the self-help critic, We're actually operating from within the framework that we built ourselves. And when we operate from within the framework that we built ourselves and then we go criticizing it, we really do make a mess of things. Most people's shelves are full of self-help books. And if you follow that person into a bookshop and you say, what are you looking for? And they say, well, I'm feeling really insecure, so I'm looking for a book on being secure. And you go, are you sure the bloody diagnosis is right? I know you feel insecure, but you're operating from in a paradigm where you're saying, I should not. But maybe feeling insecure isn't a bad thing. So sometimes we, in self-help, it comes down to diagnosis and seeking answers to a question. And sometimes the bloody diagnosis is as shit-faced wrong as all the self-help books are about solving it. So you spend 20 years saying, I don't have a vision, how do I get a vision? I don't have a vision, how do I get a vision? And I say to somebody, what did you say? And they say, I don't have a vision, how do I get a vision? Well, hang on a minute. You have a vision of having a vision. So what's the problem? It's not how do I get a vision. You already got a vision. You got a vision of having a vision. The problem is the criticism you're putting on yourself for having a vision of not having a vision. I tell a story many, many times, and I'm just going to tell it again, and I've told it 1,000 times. It's a freaking sad story. Don't want to hear a sad story while you're driving the car. Stop now. You ready? Here it goes. I work with a lady. She's Jewish. She was brought up during the Second World War in a Polish ghetto. She was a little child. And her mother told her, and this lady that came to me was the child. And she's now, I think, late 60s, or this is a while back, so it's about 20 years ago. She's in her late 60s and she's dying from cancer. And she's a brilliant woman, a lovely person, a solicitor. Anyway, she's dying of cancer. And she said, Chris, somebody in my family said that you could help me because I hate myself. And I go, why? She said, well, my whole life I've been a selfish human being and I've tried not to be, but I keep on being this selfish human being. And I said, well, you're a solicitor, you can't be all that selfish because you're helping people. And she goes, oh, and you've got kids, you can't be that selfish because you've got your kids. Oh, no, I've all done it for me, it's all been about me. And I said, how do you get this idea, this self-help idea, that you're so selfish? She goes, well, look at me, look at who I am. She goes, and I said, well, when did you first realize you were this selfish person? He goes, in the ghetto in Poland, in this time during the Second World War, my mother told me over and over again how selfish I was because I cried all the time. I kept everybody awake at night in the mud. And she said, and my mother told me the story. She said, one day we had the last piece of bread. Everybody was starving and we had the last piece of bread. And my mother gave me the last piece of bread to stop me from crying. At last, to stop me from crying, my mother gave me the last piece of bread. And I threw it in the mud. The last piece of bread. I am so selfish. And I said, do you think that this feeling of selfishness might have something to do with you eventually ending up now in a state of cancer? She goes, oh yeah, it's been killing me since I was a kid. I've always beaten myself up, self-help. Beaten myself up, judge myself, criticize myself. Oh boy. So operating from within that, but I said, I'm standing outside and I said, you've done some vinces. I've been to psychologist, I've been to therapist, but I can't fix my selfishness. And I go, did anybody ever say you weren't? She goes, no, I'm selfish. Don't you worry about that. And I said, let's go back to situation number one. Let's go back. You're in the ghetto. You've got the last piece of bread and you throw it in the mud. She goes, yeah. I said, how come you're still here? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, if it was the last piece of bread, you'd be dead. She sat there and she just started to cry. She started to sob. And I'm not talking about trickling tears. She snotted tears. She boogied tears. Tears came out of her ears, out of her mouth. Froth came out. And this poor, beautiful soul had done self-help from the time she was three, believing inside the bubble that created the bubble, that she could stop herself being selfish when she wasn't even selfish. And she cried and she cried. And, well, I didn't see her again. I don't know if she passed away or not. But what I do know is she didn't pass, validating the issue of self-help. And that, my friends, is a really important thing to know. And that's what your coach is for. I'm not selling myself. I'm not selling Chris Walker. I'm selling the idea that we can't be our own teacher. We can't be our own doctor. We can't be our own diagnostician. And we certainly can't help ourselves. What we can do is follow the teaching of somebody. And that teaching has to be you specific. It can't be generic. This mass books and mass things of how to be happy. Not everybody's unhappy for the same reason. And most people are unhappy because they're not happy, but their happiness is already there inside them. They just haven't found it. Nothing's missing. Nothing's missing. It just changes form. There's nothing to change in any human being on earth. There's just something to love that's being repressed. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.